As we open God's Word, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and a few verses from John. And I wonder if you've ever thought about what you do when life throws you a curveball. You know a curveball? It's a baseball illustration. You're sitting there, you've got your bat in hand, and you're ready to hit that ball. You think the ball is going to come at you straight, and then the pitcher throws a curveball. And a curveball means that the ball is coming at you, but not at the time or the place that you thought it was going to come at you. And you have to flinch, you have to adjust, you have to pivot, you have to move out of the way and get into position where you can hit that ball. But you don't know exactly where the ball is coming from. That is what life feels like at the moment. Friday afternoon, 12 o'clock, I was planning for our service in the building. And then about 2 o'clock, word starts coming through on social media that our premier is going to give an announcement. And then the announcement gets pushed back. The rumors start circulating. And then suddenly, wow, 3 o'clock, it's confirmed. We have to change. We have to do what we can do because we want to put a service on. Phone calls, texts start coming through and we have to adjust. To a much greater degree, many of you have faced situations and things in the past few weeks, maybe in the past couple of months, that have really disturbed what you thought would just be normal life. Some of you have had to deal with really difficult situations. Maybe a death in the family. Maybe a relationship gone bad. Maybe you're trying to work out why life is going the way it is. It's happening and you didn't think it was going to happen that way. There's a story of two sisters, which we're going to look at in the Bible, and how they dealt with a situation that they didn't expect to happen. And talking of sisters, it's incredible how different sisters can be. My wife has three sisters, so there's four sisters in the family. And they could not be more different in some ways. In some ways, they're similar, but you just look at them. The older sister has dark, curly hair. My wife, the prettiest, of course, has beautiful red hair. Then there is the third one, and she has like ash blonde hair. The fourth one is, I think she's a blonde. I wouldn't like to cast aspersions, but they're all different, and they all look different. But more than their looks, they actually are very different in personality. And particularly how they handle difficult situations. I'm not going to go into details because this is being broadcast potentially all over the world. So I'm not going to say who's like this or what's like this, only to say that you would expect sisters to be similar. But what is surprising is actually their differences. We're going to read this story from John chapter 11. And it's a story of Lazarus, essentially. But I want to look at it this morning. As we continue our series on Her Story Will Be Told, I want to look at it from the point of view of these two sisters, Martha and Mary, and how differently they react to a curveball occurring in their lives. You got a Bible, you can read along. We'll be skimming through chapter 11, 1 to 45. I'm not going to read every verse, but it's there in front of you, and I'm going to read some of the verses to you now. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." John, who wrote this and is the only gospel writer who actually tells this story, he underplays, I think, the sickness of Lazarus. Lazarus was really sick. He was really unwell. And so Mary and Martha send a message to Jesus. They get together and they decide that Jesus, who they knew, who they'd seen perform miracles, is the only one who can help in this situation. They love their brother. And we're going to find out later on that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and he loved their brother as well. So they send a message to Jesus because life is throwing them a serious curveball. Their brother is really sick. When Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So Jesus basically indicates that Lazarus is not going to die. He gives a promise here that this sickness is not going to overtake Lazarus and he's not going to die. This is the promise he makes. But in the next couple of verses, there is a couple of words which I think you might share in your frustration, particularly if you're in a situation where things have happened that you didn't expect and that you didn't want to happen. Jesus does something here which you may very well have experienced in your own life. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, listen to this, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Judea, of course, was where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were. He stayed there for a few days. John, the writer of this story, is showing us that something bad is going to happen while Jesus stays and while he waits. And then that word, finally. It's almost a word of resignation. Finally, Jesus is going to go, but it's actually going to be too late. The promise he made before about healing Lazarus, Lazarus wouldn't die from this sickness. What's actually going on here? You know, I am sure that like me, there have been moments in your life where you felt like God has given you a promise and you prayed about it and you knew God could do something. And it seems like God hasn't done what you wanted him to do in the timeline that you wanted him to do it in. His disciples object. They didn't want Jesus to go back there. There was danger back there. And then we get down to verse 17. He said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. They didn't get it. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come and see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, he's a funny character, Thomas. We're not going to talk about him much this morning, but he's the Eeyore. He's the sad sack. He's the pessimist of the group, of the disciples. He said to his fellow disciples, let's go to and let us die with Jesus. Let us go with Jesus, because there was danger where they were going to go, and let us die with Jesus. That's the best that Thomas thought was going to happen. Well, we're just going to go there and we're going to die. But he was one of the disciples. He was following Jesus. He was part of the group, even though he was like that. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was a few miles down the road. Many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary. And this now is where we see the difference between the two sisters and the difference in how they react to this curveball, their brother dying. They're going to react in quite different ways. Their personality, although they're sisters, is quite different. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Already we see what Martha is like. And maybe you know people like this. Maybe you're like this. When there's a situation, when there's trouble, Jesus had made Martha a promise. He had said, well, you know, Lazarus is not going to die. And Martha had all these feelings and all these emotions, and she's going to go. And to be honest, I think she's going to confront Jesus. She's going to have a word with him. She's going to go and talk to Jesus. She's going to go straight up to him and she's going to say, what is going on? Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only you'd been here, my brother would not have died, Jesus. What's going on? And then we see the little flip, perhaps, in her emotion. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. She knew Jesus was powerful, right? Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? You see, Jesus is not afraid of your hard questions. Jesus is not afraid. If you are the type of person that needs to have a word with Jesus, he will have a word right back. He's actually okay with that. If that is your personality, if you're like Martha, there is a place for you. You can absolutely go to Jesus and you can have this conversation with him. If you're troubled, if you're worried, if you're angry, if you're frustrated, go to Jesus. Jesus will meet you there. He will talk to you. Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe me? Yes, I believe this. everyone and says, I will always believe you. You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. That's from Martha in verse 27. And now we're going to see Mary's reaction. Quite different to Martha. Quite a different personality. She's actually been hiding. She's actually been sitting off somewhere else. She's actually been mourning. I wonder if Mary was not the sort of person that when life throws a curveball, a difficult situation, maybe even someone you need to confront and deal with, she doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to go and confront Jesus. She doesn't want to talk to him at all. She wants to go off and mourn. There's a lot of stuff, I reckon, that is inside her heart, but she doesn't want to get on the front foot like Martha and just go and see him. So Martha goes to Mary and says, Mary, come on. The teacher wants to talk to you. Jesus wants to talk to you. And I wonder if in that moment, Mary is actually relieved. Okay, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to talk to Jesus. She called Mary aside from the mourners. The teacher is here. And Mary immediately, it says in verse 29, immediately went to Jesus. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. The people in the house consoling Mary. They were weeping. Mary arrived, saw Jesus. She falls down at her feet. This is verse 32. Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus' reaction to Mary is really important, right? When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, look at this. Look at what Jesus does. Look at how he reacts. A deep anger welled up within him. Ever had that deep anger welling up within you? A deep anger. And he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. He's going to do something. They told him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. So powerful. Jesus, the Lord, the Savior, the Creator of the world, he weeps, he cries, he's angry. And all those emotions, you know, you've had all those emotions, anger, grief, weeping, all together. You're trying to work out what's going on inside of you. You are overcome. Same for Jesus. He was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? They told him, Lord, come and see. See how much he loved him, the people say in verse 36. Some people said this man healed a blind man. Why couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry. He was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A stone rolled across his entrance. Roll the stone aside. And Martha, right? Martha, the practical one. Martha, the one who always says what she's thinking. The dead man's sister. She protests. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell is going to be terrible. And she's right. Well, she thought she was right. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded to Martha straight back. Didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. He looked up to heaven and said, Lord, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I'm going to say it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so they will believe you sent me. Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloths, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Can you imagine such a scene? Jesus has been angry, he's been weeping, he's been crying, and then almost in his depth of emotion, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus comes out. Can you imagine Martha? Can you imagine Mary? Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen, but some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Just as a little aside, sometimes people will say, if I see God, if I see a miracle, I'll believe. I've never seen God, never heard him, but if I do, I will believe. You know, there's people who saw Jesus command a man to come back from the dead. They didn't believe. They went off to the religious leaders of the day to tell on Jesus. There are people who are just stubborn and who just won't accept God no matter what. But here's what I want to say as I read this story. There is a place in God's family for everyone. No matter what your personality type, no matter how you've dealt with God and how God has dealt with you, there is a place in God's family for everyone. Thomas, the doubting one, there is a place in God's family for him. Mary, who hid and didn't want to deal with it, there's a place in God's family for her. Martha, the person who spoke up, there's a place in God's family for everyone. If you are watching this, if you are listening to the words, I want you to see Jesus' heart. Jesus, as it welcomes you into his family. No matter what you are like, the family of God is composed of all different types of people, and you bring something. You have something to offer, and there is a place in God's family for you. No matter what, whether you're the doubting one, the one who speaks up, the one who runs away, the one who runs toward, there is a place in God's family for you. Secondly, the testing of your faith is not the denial of God's love for you. Mary and Martha, their faith was absolutely tested in this moment. Jesus had made promises to them. He'd said, Lazarus is not going to die. And they were 100% tested in that moment. Right now for you, you know, people may not come back from the dead. Things may not work out as you thought they would. God may allow things to happen in your life that are going to test you, that are going to be super difficult. And sometimes things are going to happen in your life where I can't give you an explanation. I don't know if there is one this side of heaven. And you may feel that God has forgotten you in this moment. Maybe there's severe conflict in your life. Maybe you can't see your kids. Maybe you can't do the things you want to do with your life. Maybe someone you've lost. Maybe a dream you had is perhaps never going to happen. Maybe your faith in God is being really tested. That does not mean that God does not love you. And we know that because Jesus, in this story, he is angry at suffering. He's actually angry at suffering, and he weeps and he cries. The world is not as it's meant to be. We've had a curveball thrown at us this week. In the grand scheme of things, to be honest, it's not that great. There are other people going through so much greater things than us. This world does have sin. In this world, there are people that are selfish, and there are things that are going to happen to you, which are suffering, which are not good. Jesus does not like those things. If you're weeping this morning, Jesus is weeping with you. If you're angry this morning, Jesus is angry with you. If you're upset this morning, Jesus gets that. He looked at the suffering of his friends. He looked at what had happened to Lazarus, and he is angry. He is upset about that. But here's my final thought this morning. The application, perhaps, if you like. What do you do with this story? Well, go to Jesus, trust him, and trust him again. If you've never believed in Jesus, he can perform miracles. What is it going to take for you to believe? Will you be that person that sees the miracle, experiences the miracle, and says, nah, I'm walking away? Or will you be the person that says, yeah, you know what? God does love me. God does care for me. And I will trust him. If you're watching this morning, I implore you. I plead with you. God is the God of miracles. He can make a difference in your life. Trust him. If you found it hard to trust him this last little while, if you felt like, you know, some promises haven't been fulfilled, I want to encourage you to trust him again, to trust him again. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that we can enjoy in the best possible way opening your word together. Thank you, Lord, for how you invite everyone in of all different types, all different personalities. Thank you, Lord, that you invite and you welcome everyone into your family. Lord, as we take communion together, right now, I just want to pray for everyone watching, Lord, that they will sense and know that they can trust you and perhaps that they can trust you again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.